We are in the fifth out of 7 weeks, 7 messages on spiritual warfare. And this morning might be a little bit of, not a challenge, but there is a little bit of work to be done, I suppose, would be a decent way to say it, in the way in which we conceive of our faith, of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We have gone through a particular week where there have been a lot of individual accounts in the news that draw us to have an emotional response. They're kind of visceral. You know, when we hear about certain things, there was a plane crash this week on I-75 down in Naples, Florida, that was just devastating to the neighborhood. And the only people that perished in that were the pilot and co-pilot. There were 3 people that walked away from it. But I don't know if you saw the fiery mess that it was. I have friends and loved ones that live in Naples that were 2 blocks away from where that plane, you know, crashed. And so, you know, there's a heart tug. As soon as I saw it, I was texting immediately, "Are you guys okay?" You know, that kind of thing. There have been other accounts in the news as well. There was a young 17-year-old man who, in Mahnomen County, where Beth and I, right next door, used to live. He wasn't our neighbor, but I mean, Mahnomen County was just one county over. Played basketball against Mahnomen County and was on a head-on collision with a semi and didn't make it. In the beginning of the week, it seemed to be all over social media everywhere. The Super Bowl was overshadowed by the way in which Travis Kelce didn't like his involvement in the game because he wasn't in, and he went over to his head coach and kind of jostled him a little bit, maybe more than a little bit, you know, and everybody was in an uproar because you never put your hands on your coach, and I'm one of those people who was not really happy. You never touch your coach. You just don't do that. And then on the next day, Andy Reid got on, you know, the news conference, the news, and he said it was the emotions of the game, and I understand that, and that was the end of it. That it was okay to do something wrong because it was a response to something emotionally. Travis Kelce never apologized, didn't say he was sorry, didn't ask for forgiveness. It's just professional sports. There was a reason why he did that, and it was his emotion. So that makes it okay. Oh, beloved, that doesn't make it okay. The nature of being human is something that Almighty God has dealt with through the death, resurrection, the ascension, and the seating of our Savior Jesus Christ at his right hand. When you and I were created, when humanity was created, when Adam and Eve were created, they were created perfect in the image of God, and Adam was formed out of the dust of the ground, and he was a physical, corporeal thing. And then God, in his grace, breathed into the clay, and it became a living being. There was a body, and because of the breath of the Lord, there was a spirit. And then it was not good that man should be alone, and so God caused the man to fall asleep and took from his physical body a rib and fashioned a suitable helper right next to him that was both body and spirit. And you and I, throughout the generations and the way that humans come into being, are created with a body and with a spirit. Now the fall came along, and Adam and Eve realized that they were naked, physical, and that realization caused them to be ashamed, emotional, spiritual, inside. And so they covered themselves with fig leaves and they hid. Humanity is completely fallen. We are not just off a little bit. We are not just off a lot. We are completely dead in our trespasses and sins, is how Ephesians says it. Not just sick in our trespasses and sins. It calls us dead. Now, before you repented and believed the gospel, you walked around, you ate, you smiled, you celebrated birthdays before believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you had a physical body that wasn't dead. But you walked around, and I walked around, with a spirit that was dead. Not just sick. So I'd like you to kind of tack that phrase, not just sick, up on a board for a second. Because we are going to be dealing with, as we engage Galatians chapter 5, sin, sickness, and salvation. This is all in the context of spiritual warfare, beloved. All in the context of spiritual warfare. So far, we have taken a look in the past four messages in the battle that exists between truth and lies, submission and rebellion, forgiveness and resentment / anger, last time being transformed and impurity. And it's under that umbrella of spiritual warfare. Often, and I've said this a number of times, we categorize spiritual warfare as only the demonic, as only the auspices of the devil. And it's true that he's involved, but you and I have repeatedly said that we have three enemies that all constitute spiritual warfare. Because the warfare, excuse me, I don't mean to get too excited, is with our spirits. The warfare that happens internally. Now, I know that you and I often like to take a look at our environment, our culture, our society, the people that sin against us, and blame our sin on something outside of us when that couldn't be further from the truth. Our sin is something that we carry with us. It's inside of us. It's our nature. It's part of that fallenness. And there's all kinds of ways that we justify externalizing it. A husband would like to blame his coldness towards his wife because of his wife, when really it's inside of him. And a wife would like to blame her bitterness on her husband and the way he treats her rather than what's inside of her. And children rebel against their parents because they're too strict outside of you. No, it's inside of you. So there is this spiritual warfare that's going on. Christianity is not behavior modification. We have a sinful behavior. It is not in us sickness responses. We don't act the way we do because we're a little off or because there's a sickness in us. Yes, there is disease, actual disease. Yes, there is trouble with our DNA. Yes, there is mental illness. But these are not separated from our sinful nature. And God addresses this. We are not disconnected souls. We are not, our soul and our spirit are not separated from our body and vice versa. Proof. What I was going to do today was I was going to bring a hammer in and I was going to call somebody up. I was going to call a burly man like Matt Sawatsky up or Scott Sickink up, you know, one of the burly men. And I was going to have them put their thumb on one of the stools. And then I was going to take the hammer and I was going to smash their thumb and see if their physical response matched their spiritual response. See, we're not disconnected souls, are we? The things that happen to us environmentally have an effect inside of us. And this part of spiritual warfare, because we live with a fallen nature, even though we are a redeemed people, we have a new heart in Christ. God, in His grace, calls us to live by the Holy Spirit. God calls us to live by the Holy Spirit. And of course, in spiritual warfare, we are dealing with the unholy Trinity, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Pay attention, beloved, as I read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. A lot of it is going to be familiar, but pay attention to which one of the three is dealt with here. We have looked at other passages where we have seen all three. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all mentioned. We have looked at some scripture where only the devil is mentioned. Today, pay attention to which one we're dealing with. I think you'll understand in a moment. The Word of God reads, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. There is one and only one of the three enemies mentioned in this text. You may find that quite interesting as we proceed with respect to spiritual warfare. God in His grace calls us to live by the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul lays out for that region, that church, the individuals who would receive this letter, and by extension, all those who will follow Christ, that there is a major clash that is happening constantly. It is occurring if you are breathing. And it is a clash between the Spirit and the one enemy known as the flesh. Did you catch it? You had to have caught it. I mean, it's just everywhere in this passage. Repeatedly, God tells us the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. And in this major clash, maybe it's even the major clash in living as a Christian. Now, I'm not diminishing the other two enemies, the world and the devil, but they're outside of us. We don't carry them with us. I know that there's a whole segment of Christianity that wants to transform our culture. But the Bible tells us that we are the ones who are transformed. As believers, we are changed. And when we share the good news with other people and they receive the Holy Spirit and they are transformed, then culture will be transformed. We don't have Christian institutions. Institutions can't be Christians. Only people can. That doesn't mean an institution can't be run under the principles of Christ. Only people can be Christians. This enemy we carry with us. And verse 17, beloved, could not be clearer, could it? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. He's going to come back to that idea of walking at verse 25 and 26 in a minute. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. It is a versus situation. The flesh versus the Spirit. And in your translations, it should say the Holy Spirit. It should be capitalized. Because He is the one who lives inside of us and is at work to conform us to the image of Christ. There are, as it were, one pastor, two dogs inside of us that are fighting constantly, that wage war in each and every believer. And we are called, as this desire is set, the reason and the Spirit is opposing the flesh, the verses, is so that you, me, the individual, may not do the things that you please. Have you ever heard the phrase, maybe you have the plaque, I don't know, or seen the plaque, to thine own self be true? Yeah, that's a hard no. That's a hard no. Have you ever used the excuse or heard somebody tell you, God wants me to be happy? Yeah, that's a hard no. Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. God just wants me to be happy. That's a hard no. Because we use that, because what makes me happy doesn't matter if it's okay with God as long as I'm happy. We can't do that. There is a major clash that is going on inside of us so that we may not do the things that we please. But if you are led by the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is the one who is leading you, you are not under the law. The law of Moses, the restrictions, the do's and the don'ts, you're not under that law. Why? Because we have been set free from the law. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. It is yes and amen in Christ. And then there is the list. The two lists, but the big list is we need to understand those lists and how they're functioning in Galatians, beloved. Really, we really do. Because there's verse 21 out there that's a big wow factor. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I know that we read that and it just cripples us. It just grabs us and it makes us go, I'm not going to heaven. Because I am a sorcerer. No. You remember just a few minutes ago when I told you to pay attention to the enemy that's mentioned here. Take a look at this list with me and mentally tick off the things that you readily apply to the flesh and notice the ones that are in the list that you wouldn't readily ascribe to your flesh. Okay, not the physical flesh, the inside spiritual flesh, the sinful nature. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And then the major category, the significant category, and everything else. And things like these. This is not an exhaustive list. But you'll see in here things that you and I and our psychologists, psychiatrists, all of the mental health professionals will give assent to their sickness in human beings. They've discovered a gene that if you have it, you are more likely to be an alcoholic. And that's why you're an alcoholic. It has nothing to do with your sin. Once again, that's a hard no. According to Scripture, is it only your sin? We can't go there because the evidence is too overwhelming. But we're not disconnected souls. You may have that gene. And it might be a gene of other addictive behaviors as well. And your flesh enjoys those things. Sometimes people practice addictive behaviors to numb their emotional pain. Could be intimacy, could be alcohol, could be other drugs, could be food, could be chocolate, could be coffee. Yeah. Kombucha? No. But do you see what Scripture is doing with this list? Do you see what God is doing with this list? These are things in the flesh that please us. Why would sorcery be on that list? Who's addicted to sorcery? Well, it's not entirely addictions. And actually, the underpinning of that word has to do with what I just talked about. It's kind of the way in which the ancients took care of their medical issues by numbing them. You know, they didn't have aspirin. But they certainly had painkillers. And I don't know if you've ever been addicted to painkillers, but that's a brutal one. That's brutal. That's what's being talked about here. Now, verse 21, we have to deal with it because it's there and it's not confusing. But the way we need to understand the list is with respect to, but those who practice such things. Okay, who's going to be practicing these things? Well, if you read the entire book of Galatians kind of in one sitting, the argument you'll see that flows, starting in, you know, chapter 1, Paul is addressing a group of churches that have been kind of sideswiped in their faith by the idea that they need to do certain things in order to follow Christ. And the particular one that Galatians deals with, but it deals with it kind of generally and then also specifically, is circumcision. Okay? And it was Jews imposing their Jewishness on Christians that weren't Jewish necessarily. And so in chapter 1, starting at verse 6, Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, God, Jesus, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. See, that's a problem. That's a different gospel. It is the gospel that sets us free. It is the gospel that cleanses us from our sins. It is the we just celebrated that. Doug just spoke about that so eloquently, that our sins are washed away white as snow by the blood of Christ. And the Galatians believe that, but somebody, something has come in, and they have quickly begun to desert the gospel. And then he begins to, he moves to defending his apostleship, the authority that he has to speak about such things, because he is the apostle that was sent to the Gentiles. And those who are coming in that want them to be circumcised and live as Jews are saying, see, he's going to the Gentiles. He's not an apostle. Only the apostles go to the Jews. This is all wrong. And Paul says, wait a second. I went up and I talked to Peter and James, and you know they approved me. And I hung out for like 17 years learning from Jesus himself, 14 and 3, before I went and preached to the gospel to the Gentiles. And he said, and as a matter of fact, one time, Peter was hanging out and living the Christian faith among Gentiles, but when these Jews came by, Peter started living like a Jew again and imposing that on others, and even Barnabas was dragged away, and so I, Paul, confronted Peter to his face and says, what are you doing? Dude. Okay, that's kind of like a paraphrase. Because Peter, the rock, wasn't immune to the deeds of the flesh. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, whoa, this verse. I love this passage. This passage has been sitting with me all week long. Just can't get away from it. Not that I would want to, but it's just, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Do you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? The question is asked in such a way as to obviously, followers of Christ should know the answer. It's by hearing with faith. It's not by works of the law. It is by, one author says it this way, it is by grace through faith alone that man is justified, saved, heaven bound. And it is by faith alone that he is to live out his new life in the freedom of the Spirit. Did you start by the Spirit? And now you're being perfected by doing all of these things rather than living by the Spirit? You see, God, in his grace, calls us to live in the Holy Spirit, leading us, guiding us. And how is it that we are to live? Oh, beloved, live crucified. Another oxymoron in the Christian faith. Live crucified. If you're crucified, you're dead. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a believer, if the Spirit is inside of you, you don't practice such things. Will you fall? Absolutely. Will you need to confess? Absolutely. But the practice of such things are BC for the believer. They're before Christ. Once Christ resides in us, the Spirit leads and guides and lives in us to conform us to the image of Christ. And God is constantly chiseling away by his Spirit that old nature, that old man, so that we look like Christ. And as a friend of mine once said, it's a good thing he has sharp chisels. We live crucified. There's this list of things that are of the flesh. And then I forewarned you about who it is that practices such things. If you practice such things, beloved, go back to square one. Sin, sickness, salvation. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, which produces joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You struggle with something addictive. God's answer by His Spirit is self-control. Not self-righteousness, self-control. The Spirit works that in us because of love. And then he keeps going. Against such thing there is no law. And here it is. Now those who belong to Christ, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. Right? Do you belong to Christ? Then guess what? Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions. So what is the sin that so easily entangles you? Beloved, if it's from the flesh, if it's spiritual warfare, it's crucified if you belong to Christ. It's hanging there. He paid for the penalty of that sin. It is covered. Never, never, never to be credited to us again. Chapter 2, verse 20 says it thusly. Verse 19, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, the physical, who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, chapter 5, verse 24, isn't a new piece of the argument. And he's not done with it either, because in chapter 6, 14, and beloved, I pray that right now we all have an aha moment. 6, 14 says this, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world, aha, has been crucified to me and I to the world. So he does mention another enemy in this book. The world, the flesh, are both crucified to us because of Christ's crucifixion. And then in verses 25 and 26, if we live by the Spirit, which is where he began in verse 16, if we live by the Spirit, we also will walk by the Spirit. And as I've said before, when you and I see the word walk, it means the way we live our daily lives. They walked everywhere. This is how, moment by moment, we are to conduct ourselves and to live. And so what's next? Well, you know what the first one says, right? We need to have the correct standard, which is the Word of God. Okay, and from that, this is taken from Campus Crusade for Christ in there, the four spiritual laws, and now it's Would You Like to Know God Personally? This goes back to our introduction with Travis Kelce and our emotions, because we're not disconnected souls. We have emotions. The promise of God's word, the Bible, not our feelings, is our authority, right? The right standard. Your emotions, my emotions, are not the standard. They're not the epitome. They're not what we put our faith and trust in. We put our faith and trust in God and his word, okay? The Christian lives by faith, trust, in the trustworthiness of God himself and his word. This train diagram illustrates the relationship between fact, God and his word, faith, our trust in God and his word, and feelings, the result of our faith and obedience. Okay? So those are the good emotions. We don't deny that we have them. We don't cut off the caboose. We don't just, you know, think that our emotions are, you know, willy-nilly, fruity, you know, just they're not secondary. They're part of the whole package. The train will run with or without the caboose. Okay? However, it would be useless to attempt to pull the train by the caboose. In the same way, we as Christians do not depend on feelings or emotions, but we place our faith, trust, in the trustworthiness of God and the promises of his word. Okay? This is really, really important. When it comes to those deeds of the flesh, those addictive behaviors that we battle, the spiritual warfare that we have that are so tied to that part of us, our emotions. This seems to be an illustration where faith in Christ and Christianity is all cerebral. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because Almighty God says that I will take out of you a heart of stone and put into you a heart of flesh, a living, spiritual heart. Our emotions do not lead us, but to deny that we have them, we are not whole people if we do that. We are not the people that God wants us to be if our faith is cerebral and not all of us. That's why we walk by the Spirit. Okay? So the correct standard. Next, feed the correct dog. Feed the correct dog. You have the dog of the flesh that is there and likes to be carousing and drunken and addictive behavior and sin. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful. Be careful what you put in front of you, what you watch on TV, what's on your social media for you page. All those kinds of things that we do our little hearts for and likes and dislikes. And be careful about the resentment that can build towards a political party or a certain perspective or something like that. Be careful. Feed the correct dog. And that dog that is fed best will win that day. How do you feed the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A gentle word turns away wrath. Read God's word. Go ahead, read Proverbs. That'll give you enough place to start. I mean, there's fantastic stuff the Lord gives us each and every day. Feed that dog. Pray. Listen to godly music. There's a young lady on Instagram. Her name is Emily. And Emily is a trained musician. And at her church right now, she is writing songs based on Psalms. And that's it. Just like they did in the Reformation. I mean, they argued whether or not you should put it to music or not. I mean, you know, Zwingli and Luther had a fit, you know. And then by the end, Luther was taking bar songs and putting godly words to them. I mean, you know. Feed the correct dog with the correct standard. We're going to like this one. I'm going to like this one. Deal with fruit inspectors. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. And that's not a measuring stick for me to put on you or you to put on me. That's for you to do the introspection in your own life. To see if you're living in the deeds of the flesh and practicing them, or are the fruits of the Spirit evident to you in your life? Are you more gentle, more kind, more patient, more loving, more gentle? I said gentle. That must be one I need to work on. Than I was when I first became a believer. Deal with fruit inspectors. Don't check the motives of your heart. You are your own inspector. Okay? Have a funeral. Your flesh has been crucified. Reckon it as dead. Don't grieve as those who have no hope. Bury it. Put it in the ground. Take a stand. Live for Christ. Live by the Spirit. Say enough when the flesh jumps up. And for whatever reason, you fed that dog a little too much. And how do you have a funeral? Come on. Oh, no, not that one. You confess and you repent. When the Spirit convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, when the Spirit convicts you that you have violated God's commandment, confess it. Agree with God. This is sin. And turn from it. Turn to Him. Return to Him. Talked a lot about that a couple weeks ago. Confess Him. That's how you have a funeral. My flesh is dead, Lord. This was wrong. I agree with you. This is sin. I should not have done this. Forgive me. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you have a funeral. And then, I would also say with confess and repent, maybe you need to get some help. Maybe you need someone to hold you accountable, to ask you the hard questions, someone that you trust and say, hey, I've been struggling with this. Can you ask me on a weekly basis how I'm doing in this area? Get a partner, get somebody that'll do that. Okay? And that's going to be tough. That can be very tough to be that kind of intimate with somebody because they know your weaknesses. But oh, beloved, we're all weak. We all need each other. It's part of being the community of faith. Scripture tells us to confess our sins one to another. And then, we're not singing the song, but plus it's spelled a different way. Cling to Christ. Walk in Christ. Live in the Spirit. Walk on sunshine. And you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Cling to the old rugged cross. Conform. Be conformed to the image of Christ. When God chips away a particular piece of you and your flesh and your nature and conforms it to the image of Christ. Beloved, don't get the epoxy and glue it back on. Have a funeral. Repent of it. Turn away from it. Leave it in the grave. God, in His infinite wisdom and grace, calls us to live by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the world, the flesh, and the devil build up these walls, these things in our lives over time that need to be brought down and destroyed. And the weapons of our warfare are mighty for the pulling down of these kinds of strongholds in our lives, whether it's resentment, unforgiveness, believing lies, addictive behaviors, the deeds of the flesh, whatever it is, God has given us mighty weapons. And the Spirit that lives inside of you and me, if you know Christ as your Savior, has washed away your sin. We are His. If you are saved, your sin has been cleansed. Period. You were dead, but you now are alive. You weren't sick, you were dead, and so was I. But God made us alive together with Christ. Walk on sunshine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have defeated the enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we have celebrated communion and remember what Christ has done, as we move even to continue worship by praying together, may our hearts be inclined to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent in our lives each and every day. In his name we pray. Amen.